taking their place in a long, true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, this is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read, we study the Constitution, we teach the rising generation to be free. As always, I'm glad you could join me, but it's important that we understand it's by reading and studying the Constitution and understanding how it helps us protect our rights. It's not that the Constitution, it's ink on parchment. It's not going to get up and take control of the government, but it has the tools. It has the laws. It has the rules and regulations that allow we the people to take control of our government. After signing the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Franklin said, "We must all hang together, or assuredly, we will all hang separately." See, he recognized that what they had done was effectively commit treason. They accused the legitimate government of violating its own laws and thereby making it illegitimate. Now, I'm sure the king didn't think he was illegitimate, but what they had done was dangerous. They stood up to their government, and they fully expected the government to come after them. So I believe he was making the point that says, listen, if we act individually, if we try to fight this alone, we'll get squashed. We will hang, as in hang from a noose, die for the crime of treason. But if we hang together, if we work together, well, then we could survive and we could thrive. And we did. It's why I say here so often that it's actually more important that you protect the rights of your neighbor than you protect your own rights. Because if you protect only your rights, you're standing alone. But when we protect the rights of our neighbor, we're standing together. And I'm always asked, you know, it seems almost every day I'm asked, you know, well, what do we do? What can we do? Well, the point really is to stand. To stand up and say, no, we did not authorize this. No, we're not going to simply bow down because so-and-so said so. And I wanted to take a look at some examples. As we're approaching Christmas, it was a good time to look at some of these examples and say, maybe I can stand too. Now, one of the things that American society has not been good at for many decades is the "and then what" question. We see something and we have this emotional reaction that says we have to do something, but we never seem to ask the question, "and then what?" We may do it individually, but we rarely do it collectively, and we rarely do it as a society. So when we started with these illegal, unconstitutional mandates, when we had governments ordering businesses to do things, and we had businesses simply implementing them at the suggestion or the request of some bureaucrat, few seem to ask, well, then what? What happens when you start requiring first masks and then vaccines? Now, as expected, the mask mandates were grumbled about, but, you know, wearing a mask is a temporary thing. You get done at the end of the day, you take the mask off, it doesn't live with you the rest of your life. However, the jab does. I know they keep calling it a vaccine. Legally, it doesn't meet the definition of vaccine. The CDC actually had to try or was it the FDA, that redefined a vaccine to try and make this stuff look, it's gene therapy. And everybody just assumed, or at least they acted like, oh, well, we put a mandate in place that says you have to do this. People will simply line up and take the jab. And many of them did. But many of them didn't. And the numbers that didn't turned out to be a lot more than I think many people considered. So I came across this article that says healthcare systems and hospital systems such as Advent Health, HCA Healthcare, and Tenet Healthcare Group, well, they're dropping their COVID-19 quote-unquote vaccine mandate at least for staff. And one of the major reasons is they have a worker shortage. See, when you take a percentage of your workforce and you basically say, take the jab or go home, some are going to go home. And you compound that with the actions of government paying people not to work, you instill in people this idea that they can stay home, eat Cheetos, play video games, and be taken care of. Well, you just exacerbated a problem. We already have record numbers of open job openings, and then we turn around and say, you know what? We're not gonna let you work here because you won't be a guinea pig. It's interesting. Went to a new doctor last week for my wife, and the reason we went to this doctor is they were not going to require a vaccine. And interesting enough, the doctor asked why. And my wife looked at me and said, because we're not willing to be guinea pigs. This is an experiment. This is dangerous. And we're not willing to do that. We're not willing to be test subjects. So we see, you know, that nice little sidebar. So here you have hospital systems. The Cleveland Clinic has also announced that it would allow unvaccinated employees to work. See, this is what happens when they stand together. This push towards healthcare workers getting the jab is beginning to backfire. Then what? What happens when a not insignificant percentage refuse? What happens when these systems start saying, well, then you can't work and they can't provide the resources? You know, it's interesting. We keep hearing, or at least I've heard a couple reports of, ICU beds nearing capacity. And I find it interesting. I wonder how much of that capacity has been lost, not because of beds taken up by COVID patients, but by the inability to staff, to have sufficient staff to have those beds available. So to all of those healthcare workers that stood their ground, that said, no, we will not give up our right to our bodies. You don't have the right to deprive us of control of our bodies without due process of law. We will not comply. I'm glad they stood together, and I support the work that you do. Like I said, we went looking for a new doctor because her old doctor refused to see her because she wouldn't get the jab. So we went looking, and it wasn't easy. I mean, we had a long list of doctors, but many of them, they just towed the bureaucratic line. And we supported a doctor that would not require the vaccine, the jab. You know, yesterday I was interviewing Robert Altomir and his new site, breatheeasy.org, and this app he's developing to help us find businesses that won't infringe on our rights. But it's not simply the hospitals. Amtrak employees who've not taken the jab will be allowed to continue working. Well, as long as they provide a negative test weekly, according to Amtrak. Again, concerns were expressed. Amtrak wouldn't be able to operate its full schedule of passenger trains if they enforced their illegal mandate. Now, Amtrak is weird. Amtrak is one of those quasi-private public companies, right? It was it was a company that the government created to try and turn, you know, hand over, but it's still under a lot of government control. It's a nightmare. I'll admit, I used to ride Amtrak when I lived in upstate New York. If I had business in the city, I'd take the train. And I always laugh because the subsidy for my ticket that the American people paid was outrageous. To the point where it's, you know, it was crazy. But again, Amtrak employees said, we are not going to be your guinea pigs. We are not going to be the subject of your medical experiments. And Amtrak had a choice: cut service or cut the mandate. Well, they kind of compromised, right? Because they still want the test. Now, the test to me, I mean, as far as I understand, the tests are still experiments. They're still emergency use authorization. But it's, again, take the win we can get. Amtrak has backed down from the jab mandates and limited down to testing. Let's take it. But again, that's not all. I've told you before that I am driving around the country because I don't trust the airlines and I don't trust the TSA. I don't trust them to not strand me, to not put some onerous, illegal, unconstitutional infringement on my right that would strand me somewhere because either some bureaucrat came up with the idea or some corporate weenie lawyer came up with the idea. So I don't fly. And in fact, it was interesting. I was approached a while back by someone who wants to get me out to California and is actually trying to find a way to get a private flight, rather since this person knows I will not fly commercially. Hey, I love flying. I actually almost became a pilot. If I could afford it, I would simply fly my own plane wherever I needed to. But that's neither here nor there. The point I want to make is, I saw this interesting report about a couple of CEOs of airlines, and they were testifying before Congress, and they said, quote, I think the case is very strong that masks don't add much, if anything, in the air cabin environment. Now, that happened to be Gary Kelly, chief executive officer of Southwest Airlines. He said, being inside a plane is very safe and very high quality compared to any other indoor setting. They talk about the air filters on the plane that turn over the air every 3 minutes, the removing pathogens. Doug Parker, the chief executive of American Airlines, went on to say, the aircraft is the safest place you can be. He argued that mask mandates create extra workload for employees, creates tension between employees and staff, creates emotional exchanges over these protocols, and don't really do anything. Now, it's interesting because Senator Markey pushed back, saying that the Omicron variant, the unvaccinated children under five, and the fact that we still allow unvaccinated on planes to fly in our country justify the mask mandate remaining in place. He said, it's unfair to require vaccinated people to sit next to unmasked, unvaccinated people on planes, according to Markey. But you see, this just proves, Mr. Markey, that you don't believe either masks or vaccines work. See, if you believe masks work, we wouldn't need the vaccine, would we? I mean, if masks actually stop the spread of a respiratory virus, any respiratory virus, well, we wouldn't need the vaccines because we could just wear a mask. Oh, and if the vaccines actually worked, well, then you wouldn't worry about whether or not the person next to you is vaccinated or not, or is masked or not. Because if the what you call a vaccine actually was a vaccine, if it actually worked, you wouldn't care what the person sitting next to you, because you would be protected. See, Mr. Markey, again, has basically just shot down his own argument, but I'm not hearing people call him out on it. But let me ask you, why do you think the CEOs of these two airlines are pushing back against the mask mandate? Well, I believe that Mr. Kelly was correct. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't add much. When we were at this doctor, we were talking about masks. And I happened to point out, I said, you realize that the EPA has done some testing on personal protective equipment. And I actually printed it out so I could bring it to the doctor. And you know those cotton mask with the ear loops that everybody's wearing? Yeah, you know how effective those are? About 25%. If you get the non-woven polypropylene mask, they're about 28%. If you get the single-layer woven mask, they're really good ones, they're about 40%. Yeah, see, unless you're getting a really high-end mask, you're only dealing about 20 to 40% effectiveness. Oh, those procedure masks you see, the quote-unquote surgical masks that most people talk about, yeah, they're only about 40% effective. Now, if you twist the corners before you put them, the loops before you put them over your ears, suddenly that becomes 60% effective because it fits tighter around your mouth. But most people don't do that. So we know that they're not effective. Now, here's the interesting part. I was talking to a doctor. And they said, well, even if it's only 5%, that makes a difference. Well, that kind of proves to me that this doctor doesn't understand math, or at least statistics. See, when the EPA says these are 20 to 40% effective, it means that they filter out about 20 to 40% of the virus, meaning that 60 to 80% of the virus still gets through. It's not that it will protect you against the virus 20 to 40% of the times. It just filters out that much of the virus. So, okay, if I'm shoveling sand against a chain link fence and most of it gets through, I'm still getting the virus. You're still exposed to the virus. Now, again, if you actually believe the quote-unquote vaccines worked, you wouldn't worry about it, right? Because you'd be protected, except you're not protected. But I believe these CEOs are pushing back because, A, they're seeing people who don't want to fly anymore. People like me who says, I'm tired of it. I'm done. I don't want to deal with this nonsense anymore. And people are finding other modes of transportation. I also think that they are seeing the spike in incidents on aircraft related to these ridiculous mask mandates. And they're realizing they're causing a lot of problems with their customers. They're causing a lot of problems with their employees. They're causing a lot of dissatisfaction with their product. It's costing them time and effort and money because they've got flight attendants that are constantly reminding people to put on their masks and all this stuff, and it's not doing anything. It's costing them money. It's costing them time. They don't like it. So all my fellow Americans that push back against these things, understand, by standing together, we are making a change. Yeah, it took a little while, but we're making a change. If we're changing the attitudes about these mandates, the next thing we need to do is change the attitude about the powers of government. See, the Society for Human Resources Management did a survey recently in which they found 75% of employers would not commit to a vaccine requirement if the courts strike it down. In other words, Biden's private industry, private business vaccine, quote-unquote vaccine mandate, 75% of employers would not commit to doing it if it's found unconstitutional. Now, that tells me a couple things. Most employers realize this is smoke and mirrors. This is garbage. This is counterproductive. This is damaging. They realize there's a problem. But it also means that many of them, the vast majority, 75% apparently, will comply with an order that either because they don't realize or they're too cowardly to stand up to an illegal order. See, that's the part I think we need to change. That's the part. If we're hanging together and we're showing them the pain of the vaccine mandates, next we need to show them the pain of following illegal edicts, regardless of where they come from. Be it 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, your state house, your city hall, your county courthouse, wherever they are. Stop supporting businesses that are willing to bow to illegal edicts. If we live in a free country, if we have the rule of law, just because Biden says so, just because OSHA says so, doesn't make it legal, doesn't make it applicable. If it is a violation of the Constitution even, and I'll talk about this more probably tomorrow, talking about the recent kerfuffle in the courts. The courts don't get to tell the country what the Constitution says. I know, I just blew a bunch of people's minds. We've all been taught that the courts determine what the Constitution is, but that's not true. The federal courts are creations of the Constitution. They are sworn to support the actual language of the Constitution. And when they fail to do so, they are violating their oath of office and frequently committing federal crimes in doing so. And that's the next place we need to stand together. We need to stand with these businesses that are willing to stand up to the bully and say no. When they do, we need to rally to their side. Just, I call it the Chick-fil-A effect, right? How often have somebody come up with a boycott of Chick-fil-A only for their sales to skyrocket as people rush to Chick-fil-A in support of what they're doing? We need to do that. Now, understand, I don't believe most large corporations are willing to stand up to government. They're too in bed with government. Now, the ones that are most likely to stand up are more likely to be the small businesses, the mom and pops, the one that are always complaining that big box stores are taking away their business, that corporate America is taking away these small businesses. Well, here's your opportunity. Take whatever tactic you need to let your potential customers know you respect their rights, and then we, the people, need to flock there. You know, in the Declaration of Independence, at the end, the signers pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to the concept of liberty, of independence from Great Britain. We need to do the same thing here today. We need to live, we need to pledge our lives to live as free citizens, and we need to spend our fortunes with businesses that protect our rights, not ones that infringe on our rights. And we need to do so with the honor that says, if I'm going to do this, I actually do it. If I promise to my fellow Americans I will do this, we better do it. Now, whether it's a sign in the window that says, we respect your rights, no mask, no vaccine, no problem. Whether it's the Breathe Easy app, when it comes out, and we can let other people know, hey, this is a place that protects your rights. This is a place that infringes on your rights. Those don't mean anything unless we, the people, decide that we're going to place liberty above convenience, above the almighty dollar, and above our fear of our creation, government. Fear of our own employees, the people we hire to exercise our power. And no one can do that for you. You have to stand, do it yourself. And the best way to do it is to stop trying to stand alone. Find somewhere where there are other people that will stand together to do this. You know, this is why I created the website constitutionscholars.com, a place for people who are students, scholars of the Constitution, to get together, to read, to study, to share, to commiserate in some cases, where we can find each other. It's why I have different groups for different states so that people in a state can find each other. And I'm willing to make more groups if we've got groups for a specific city or other locale or a specific idea or topic. Talk to me about it. Just go to constitutionscholars.com. You have to register, but it's absolutely free to register. And join a community of people who are trying to restore the authority of the Constitution to the United States. And in doing so, protecting not only their rights, but yours as well. Now, yes, I have a mentoring program on there for people who want to really become students, become scholars of the Constitution, and who want to eventually teach others. You can find out more on that website, but check it out. See, that's the hanging together, being involved, being engaged. You know, New Year's is coming up, and I know a lot of people that make New Year's resolutions. Maybe this is the year you make a resolution to read the Constitution 3 or 4 times, or to spend some time studying it and learning more about it. But let's learn to stand together, to hang together, to have each other's backs. Because if we don't, are you sure we will all hang separately? Just ask those patriots that are still in prison, in jail, for participating in a politically unpopular demonstration. And some of them committing, for the most part, minor crimes, trespass. If they committed a serious crime, by all means, they should be prosecuted. But to spend the better part of a year in jail for trespass, under the conditions that have been reported, this is not a free country. That's a report we expected out of the Soviet Union or Communist China. It's what you expect out of Pol Pot, not, well, I guess maybe we do Joe Biden. But they get away with it because we, the people, allow it. Now, before I head off to break, I want to remind you about HealthyCell.com. You know, again, if we're talking New Year's resolutions, eating better is a good one. A lot of people talk about eating better. And one of the things we should do is make sure we're getting the proper vitamins and minerals, the nutrition our bodies need to feed it right down to the cellular level. Now, most vitamins haven't changed since the 1930s until Healthy Cell came along and reinvented the vitamin. Not a pill, a gel pack. Something you can take by itself or mix with food or drink, with different formulas based on what your body needs, what you need. You know, maybe you need help falling asleep at night. My wife has had this problem as long as I've known her. So try the REM sleep. Helps you get drowsy, helps you fall asleep faster, helps you stay asleep so you can awake, rested, and ready to go. But regardless of what you try, be sure to use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. That'll give you 20% off your first order. You can order a single pack. You can order a subscription, whatever. Just go to HealthyCell.com, check out all their products, pick one. And when you check out, use OUTLOUD and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is McCullough Report. Are you tired of your tired vitamins? Consider HealthyCell. These are pill-free vitamins that are in convenient gel packs. I like the Focus and Recall supplement. I use this a lot. You know, your brain uses a lot of energy, and it depends on a variety of micronutrients and vitamins. Boost your short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall vitamins. So go to HealthyCell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, OUTLOUD, for a 20% off your first order of any Healthy Cell product. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets. America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. That's right, you've joined the Constitution study. And today, today we're talking about sticking together. And we're talking about what can be done, or what comes when the American people stick together. We hold on to our ground, we stand our ground, we hold our position. And a lot of things that we thought were so terrible, we see, they start folding in front of us. It doesn't always happen, but we should take the good news while we can. For example, we talked about how airlines and Amtrak and hospitals are ditching their COVID mandates because, they're running out of employees. So let's take a look at some things at the state level. For example, Texas governor basically told the Secretary of Defense, go pound sand. We will not enforce a vaccine mandate against the Texas National Guard. He said, as a governor of Texas, I am the commander in chief of this state's militia. Under this order, general orders will not punish any guardsmen in Texas for choosing not to receive the vaccine. If unvaccinated guardsmen suffer any adverse consequences within the state of Texas, they will have only President Biden and his administrative state to blame. See, this is what happens when states stop acting like vassals of Washington, and they actually start acting like, sovereign states, like the creators of the United States, not its creation. Now, granted, this is Texas, and If the Texas National Guard were to be called up, then that they'd be under the control of the commander-in-chief, the president. They'd be under the rules of Congress. But then again, Congress hasn't created a law, so Biden's military mandate is pretty constitutionally shaky anyway. But again, this is a state standing up. Now, right now, this is Texas. Where are the other 49? Where are the other states that believe in liberty and freedom, that believe that they aren't the creation of the federal government, they are its creator, and therefore have the authority to tell them, no, we did not authorize that. We did not delegate to you that authority. See, we talk about checks and balances a lot between the branches, but remember, the reason the 10th Amendment states that powers not delegated to the United States generally remain with the states is so that the states could stand up to the federal government to help protect you from an out-of-control federal government. Now, while the governor of Texas is the executive, in South Carolina, it looks like the legislature is working on this. So the legislature recently passed a bill, or at least the House, I should say, passed a bill. House Bill 3126. And here's a couple of highlights. Let's see, the state or any political subdivision thereof, including school district, may not enact COVID-19 vaccine mandates for any employee, independent contractor, non-employee vendor, or student as a condition of employment or attendance. Neither the state or any of its political subdivisions may terminate a person employed as a first responder if the first responder does not undergo a COVID-19 vaccination. If a private employer terminates or suspends an individual because they do not receive COVID-19 vaccination, that individual is eligible for unemployment benefits. See, all these are meant to deal with this illegal, this truly fictitious federal set of mandates. Now, the federal government is using Medicare and Medicaid dollars to blackmail hospitals and other medical agencies creating a mass mandate, and the on again off again OSHA regulation involving private employers here the state of Carolina says, South Carolina says, listen, if somebody gets fired, they get unemployment benefits. Now, I don't know the way the system of unemployment works in South Carolina, but I would hope that it's the employer that pays for those benefits. That would be a nice thing to see. So there we have a couple of states that are standing up, and I believe they're standing up partially because of the pressure that their citizens are bringing to bear. At least I'd hope to think so. But then again, not all states are doing good things, and not all the news is good. For example, in the Empire, which is the state of New York, they have passed a healthcare worker mandate that does not allow them to seek a religious exemption, a violation of the New York Constitution, by the way. This is going through the courts. An injunction was sought all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court decided, you know what, we're not going to do that. Seeing a 6-3 vote, the court decided not to issue the injunction. However, Justice Gorsuch issued a 14-page dissent in which he wrote, among other things, that the new governor announced that the decision to eliminate the exemption was intentional and justified because no organized religion sought it, and individuals who did were not listening to God and what God wants. Now, thousands of New York healthcare workers face a loss of their jobs and eligibility for unemployment benefits. 20 of them had filed suit that the state's conduct violates the First Amendment and asking us to enjoin the enforcement of the mandate against them until this court has decided their petition for certiorari. Respectfully, I believe they deserve it. Well, again, this isn't a First Amendment in issue because the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law, but it is a violation of the New York State Constitution, but it's also a violation of the 14th Amendment. Because the state is depriving them of their liberty and their property without due process of law. It is providing them with unequal treatment before the law. It's a mess. It's denying them their rights, but again, the court doesn't seem to care too much, at least the majority of the court. Now, Justice Gorsuch goes on and he explains some of the positions that are being held and a little bit of the history. But I want you to notice he pointed out the fact that the reason the state is not issuing or is not allowing religious exemptions is because in the mind of the governor, no organized religion sought it. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. Your religion, your beliefs don't matter because a religion that the state of New York recognizes doesn't say so. Well, what if you disagree with the Pope? Or what if you're part of a denomination that doesn't have a religious leader? Now, where does the governor get the authority to say that she's listening to God and we're not? You can thank the citizens of the state of New York. I know you're suffering under this, but she's your fault. Sure, you got rid of one tyrannical government just to get another one. Well, you elected her as well. This is the consequence of not paying attention. And the fact that you went whining and crying to the Supreme Court for relief and they decided not to. Again, I feel for those who are being hurt, but you voted for her. You voted for her. And, this is the consequence of not vetting your candidates based on their adherence to the Constitution. This is the consequence of being bribed and giving up your rights to a government to let it take care of you. Now, then we have, Congress passed their defense bill. That's great, $770 billion. But in there, they put a nice little, let's call it a Christmas gift for those in the military who don't wish to be medical experiments. Seeing a 6-3 vote, the court decided not to issue the injunction. However, Justice Gorsuch issued a 14-page dissent in which he wrote, among other things, that Let's see, the new governor announced that the decision to eliminate the exemption was intentional and justified because no organized religion sought it, and individuals who did were not listening to God and what God wants. Now, thousands of New York healthcare workers face a loss of their jobs and eligibility for unemployment benefits. 20 of them had filed suit that the state's conduct violates the First Amendment and asking us to enjoin the enforcement of the mandate against them until this court has decided their petition for certiorari. Respectfully, I believe they deserve it. Well, again, this isn't a First Amendment issue because the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law, but it is a violation of the New York State Constitution, but it's also a violation of the 14th Amendment. Because the state is depriving them of their liberty and their property without due process of law. It is providing them with unequal treatment before the law. It's a mess. It's denying them their rights, but again, the court doesn't seem to care too much, at least the majority of the court. Now, Justice Gorsuch goes on and he explains some of the positions that are being held and a little bit of the history. But I want you to notice he pointed out the fact that the reason the state is not issuing or is not allowing religious exemptions is because in the mind of the governor, no organized religion sought it. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. Your religion, your beliefs don't matter because a religion that the state of New York recognizes doesn't say so. Well, what if you disagree with the Pope? Or what if you're part of a denomination that doesn't have a religious leader? Now, where does the governor get the authority to say that she's listening to God and we're not? You can thank the, you know, citizens of the state of New York. I know you're suffering under this, but she's your fault. Sure, you got rid of one tyrannical government just to get another one. Well, you elected her as well. This is the consequence of not paying attention. And the fact that you went whining and crying to the Supreme Court for relief and they decided not to, again, you know, I feel for those who are being hurt, but you voted for her. You voted for her. And, you know, this is the consequence of not vetting your candidates based on their adherence to the Constitution. So what you end up with is, if not the free, least free, certainly seems to be the least free state in the Union, New York. Because now we have Omicron, and in a what can only be described as a ridiculous panic, Governor Hochul wants to implement a new mask mandate. Let's forget the fact that Omicron symptoms seem to be very mild. There's been one death in the UK, I think. At least that's all I've heard reported. But no, we're going to put all the New Yorkers back under their thumb. Well, they're starting to push back. This is the consequence of being bribed and giving up your rights to a government to let it take care of you. For example, the New York Police Department has already repeatedly stated they have no intention of becoming the mask and vaccination police. And there are plenty of upstate counties that are pushing back as well. Now, there may be some Karens out there that are going to turn people in, but the more she squeezes Governor Hochul, the more people are having enough and saying, you know what, we're just not going to comply anymore. Again, these are the states that are finally, after 2 years, realizing this is not about your health. This is not about medical science. This is about control. And the more and more we see tyrannical governors squeeze on their citizens, the more and more the citizens are going to start pushing back. Now, then we have, Congress passed their defense bill. That's great, $770 billion. But in there, they put a nice little, let's call it a Christmas gift for those in the military who don't wish to be medical experiments. And that gift happens to be if you refuse and you're discharged, you cannot receive a dishonorable discharge. That's important because that deals with your lifetime benefits. If you are dishonorably discharged, any benefits you've accrued are lost. But if you are simply discharged, well, you still have your benefits in place, your reputation in place. And that's a good thing because more and more, the world's being divided into those who listen to politicians and bureaucrats and those who actually look for science. Now, many of you should remember Ben Carson. He was a candidate for president, ended up serving in the Trump administration. And now he's made a simple point. He says this pandemic could be solved quickly. All we got to do is throw the politics out. I agree. And what's been going on with in New York and with the military, these are political decisions, not medical decisions. Dr. Carson said, let's listen to the physicians group who've had incredible success with ivermectin. Let's look at the results with monoclonal antibodies. Let's look at all of these things. Let's put them in all of our armaments so that we don't have a one-size-fits-all system. Amen. See, that's the thing. We're different. Different people have different health studies, different histories, different conditions, different requirements. But you see, a centralized, corporate, socialized medical system can't deal with that. So they say, nope, we get an expert who has proven himself to be, if not a liar, at least disingenuous. And no, we're all going to listen to him. We're all going to follow him off the cliff. See, next we find out the next list of experts. Okay, remember, so we've had the Pfizer shot, the Moderna shot, and the Johnson & Johnson shot. And now suddenly the CDC, or at least their expert panel, recommends that you take the gene therapy rather than the vaccine. Now, I'm not a virologist, but as I understand it, both the Pfizer and Moderna, they use mRNA, messenger RNA, to basically get your body to build a spike protein to build antibodies against it. Whereas the Johnson & Johnson injections, actually, I believe is actually a vaccine. It actually has COVID in it, so your body learns to fight COVID. No, we can't have that. Now, I don't know about you, but I take anything any of the CDC expert panels says with a large grain of salt. Because the reason they claim that you should take the mRNA vaccines over the Johnson & Johnson is, well, the side effects of the Johnson & Johnson. The panel cited what they call a rare but serious side effect associated with the Johnson & Johnson. What about the serious side effects of the mRNA? What about the myocarditis? What about the blood clots? Again, if this panel had any credibility and they were to say, listen, there's a serious concern, where's the data? Where's the comparison? If they're saying that Johnson & Johnson is not as safe, where's the comparison study? Because when I look at VAERS, I'm seeing thousands of people dead, hundreds of thousands of adverse reactions, and they're not all limited to the Johnson & Johnson. So tell me, where is this? Because from what I understand, of the 17 million doses that have of the Johnson & Johnson have been given in the U.S., 17 million, they've had 54 cases of what's called thrombocytopenia syndrome. I don't know, thrombosis. I believe that's a blood clotting. 54 cases out of 100, out of, I'm sorry, 54 cases out of 17 million. What about the rate for the others? Again, why do you trust them? When Fauci comes out and says, Americans may just have to deal with more COVID vaccine booster shots. No, we don't. I'm sorry, Dr. Fauci. You were not elected king in chief. You have proven yourself, if not a flat-out liar, you've proven yourself to be inaccurate. You've been wrong. You've cried wolf so many times, I wouldn't believe you if you told me the sky was blue. So I'm not getting the jab, and I'm not getting booster shots, especially for a disease that not only do I have a 99.5% chance of surviving the alpha, but it looks like there have been, what, one death out of in so far from the Omicron? So no, we don't have to put up with more booster shots. We don't have to listen to a darn word you say because you're just a petty bureaucrat with a medical degree who has been lying through his teeth, I believe, to make a buck. You look at your salary, you look at what you're invested. There is such a conflict of interest. I don't trust you. You know, there's all this talk about antitrust laws against the big tech. How about antitrust laws against Mr. Fauci? What about his conflicts of interest? Or do we not care about them because, well, he's Lord Fauci? See, there's good news because we keep kicking back and people are starting to push back and hopefully they're starting to find each other. But here's the warning of if we don't. If we listen to the Faucis and the CDCs without data, without backing, we end up with a story like Daniel DiMartino. See, he's seen firsthand what happens when socialism takes over a country. And he wants to warn you about it. She says, in Venezuela, about 30,000 people get killed every year of murder. My aunt got kidnapped one time, and when she went to report the kidnapping in the police station, one of the police officers was one of the kidnappers. See, it's a country destroyed by socialist policy, so it's very hard to find food, very hard to find basic necessities. So you have to make lines for hours. You have to bribe people. You have to be corrupt. It's not a good place to live. And so that's why I'm very grateful to have been able to come to America. There's just one problem. See, what he saw happen in Venezuela, he sees happening in America today. A flourishing country being overrun by rampant socialism, where violent crime is skyrocketing, where people losing their lives and livelihoods, where neighbors begin to view each other as rivals for, well, ever-diminishing resources or just for not going along with the approved narrative. Is that where you want to live? So I come back to Mr. Franklin. If we wish to be free, we must all hang together. We must find these places that are standing for freedom and liberty, and we must rally to their defense. Whether that be a small business owner or a group of employees, whether it be a politician or a first responder, when we see those who support liberty, we rally to them. When we see those who corrupt liberty, who destroy liberty, we must stand against them. We must ostracize them. We must call them what they are: Quislings, collaborators, those who will sell their freedom and liberty for ease or position, or just those who have been so brainwashed that they can't even think for themselves anymore. One of the things I've noticed lately is the number of times people challenge something I say, and when I ask them for their proof, I go, why? Why do you think I'm wrong? They have no answer. They call me names rather than really saying, you know, where's your proof? Where's your evidence? Where are the facts? See, there's good news that people are starting to stand up. And I pray that that number grows in 2022. But like any restoration, like any return to sanity, I believe it's at a fragile state. Fragile because not enough of us know about each other. Not enough of us know there are others that will stand. Too many of us are performing our little acts of defiance on our own. So I do. I want to help you find others. Now, whether you find them on Facebook or Twitter, I really don't care where. What I do want you to do is to rally to the defense of liberty. Now, I've already mentioned, I'm actually on the list. I'm going to be beta testing the Breathe Easy app when it becomes available, where I'll be able to point out businesses that protect your rights and businesses that, well, are destructive to your rights. I have the Constitution Scholars where you can share information. And every day I'm posting news articles up there that I think are interest to the different citizens in the different states. Let's not sit back and watch while America turns into the next Venezuela. Let's not sit here and watch as a employee continues to act like a king, ignoring the Constitution, ignoring the law, ignoring his oath of office, simply ruling not even by pen and by phone, but simply by press conference. See, that's the wonderful thing about America. Laws that are repugnant to the Constitution are void. They're empty. They're meaningless. That's what the Supreme Court said. It's what Alexander Hamilton said. They're meaningless. They only have power over us because we allow them to. And yes, it's scary to step into that arena. And most Americans won't. But for the few of us who will the rest of you rally to our side when we stand for freedom and liberty? Because when we do so not just for our own, but for yours as well. Now, America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can also listen on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. Listen on one of our apps for Apple, Android, or Alexa. Stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Even listen to the podcast on those very same apps. Do what you can to secure the blessings of liberty for yourself and your posterity.
Paid bills, stay out of jail.